Hello, everyone, and welcome back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Pannier. And unfortunately, this week, my good buddy Kevin Lucco is out battling a little bit of an illness here. So I'm flying solo this week. And I have to say, I was supposed to have an interview with Deputy Commissioner Josh Buchholz this week. But due to my own technical error, this didn't wind up working out. So my deepest apologies about that. Hopefully, we'll have the Deputy Commissioner on here pretty soon. But again, I'm very deeply sorry that this wound up working out this way. And unfortunately, that just leaves me flying solo this week. So, well, there's some stuff that we're going to talk about here tonight. And so let me break down going around the league for you as Kevin has come up with the power rankings for this week. I'm going to start from the back end this week. And we'll start with the Winnipeg Gold Eyes, who are in last place in the power rankings, also in last place in the West Division, currently 29-40. They have won tonight's ball game, entered tonight's contest 10.5 out, but now 10 out after beating Fargo to ensure they were not swept in that series at home. My apologies to Fargo fans up there by calling for that series to all have already been a sweep after losing on Sunday. Didn't look ahead in the standings as I should. So I didn't see that they had a game here today. And so my apologies. Hopefully that was inspiration and the team came up with a victory there. But Winnipeg, you know, this is a team that you look at and you go, wow, 10 games out, there's not much life, it looks like, to this club. But keep in mind, just 5 games out behind Sioux City right now for 4th place in this division. That's all you're looking to do is get into the playoffs. And we saw Sioux City struggle down the stretch mightily last year. So you know you have a chance with this team. And you also got to realize is that Sioux City got into 4th place in this division by getting on a 10-game winning streak. They were just caught fire. The team caught fire, and all of a sudden, they're out right there in the race. And so you think to yourself, why not us? Why can't we do this exact same thing? And they can. They absolutely can. Okay, there is enough talent, especially from guys like Max Murphy, who is having another phenomenal season. Max leading the American Association in home runs for the 2nd straight year, this time with 20. The RBI numbers a little bit down in July, but they're getting a big-time performance out of him, and he's a guy who can carry an offense on his back. An interesting move made by the club here today as they trade first baseman Jacob Boccoli to the Gary Southshore Railcats for right-hander Matt Leon. And this, to me, looks like a move to help two guys who just didn't work out. Boccoli came here to Winnipeg having to replace David Washington, who hit 30 home runs himself last year. And I think that was a bit of a pressure on Boccoli. He had a nice season last year for the Railroaders, and you know he's going to have pop at his bat. But he wasn't coming here to hit 25, 30 homers. And I think that pressure got to him a little bit. A change of scenery down in Gary, where hitting 4 or 5 home runs over the final 30 games would be great, will help his swing, help him have more confidence for himself. Then you look at Matt Leon, who's brought in to close out games for Gary and lost that role to DJ Wilkinson, and then he didn't really have a role. The guy looking for something to do with himself right there and just wasn't fitting in that back-end bullpen for the Railcats at all. Well, now is his opportunity to get a fresh start. He will not be the closer in Winnipeg, as Samuel Adames has been brilliant for this team. But he's going to probably be the 8th inning guy if he can prove to manager Greg Taggart that he's dependable. And if he is, he's going to have an opportunity to get a second life this season. And I think that might be the kind of move that helps this Winnipeg club. They have a few starters that have been pretty good in their rotation. And if they could just get a little bit better performance out of their back end of their bullpen, this is a club that you don't want to just be turning your back on, because I think that they have a shot of trying to make some kind of a little bit of a run here. And it's just, what are the other teams do in this division that might say whether they get back into this race or not? The Gary Southshore Railcats come in at number 11 this week. Gary in last place in the East Division, 29-39, 13 games out. They are 4-6 in their last 10. Again, just like we talked about Winnipeg, they are just 4 games behind King County for the final playoff spot in this division. And terrible week last week for the Railcats. Not denying that at all. They come away with a very challenging week. But there is a great deal of talent to this club. It's surprising how bad the pitching staff has been for this team, because Last year, they were carrying the club for the first half of the year. They were second in the league in the ERA, and this isn't much of a roster change to them. They have many of the same arms you saw from last year. Okay, but last week, 8.10 ERA, probably the worst pitching staff, or at least the bottom two or three, in the league since last year's All-Star game. And it has been the disappointing performances, guys like Aaron Phillips and Jack Eisenberger and Jared Price and Harrison Francis, Edward Cuello, guys that had terrible weeks for the team. All of them had ERAs of 9 or worse. Even John Sheiks had a really bad week. And that's the heart of your starting rotation right there. Throw in Chris Irwin, who had a 6.75 ERA, and you have the rotation, all with ERAs above 6.5. That is what's killing this team right now. There's decent enough offense, very good offense, as a matter of fact. Hit .303 last week. Jesus Mariaga is probably the most unsung hero in the league. That guy having a phenomenal year that nobody's heard of. 50 RBI for this guy in 64 games. You know, for a Gary South, 68 games. For a Gary Southshore Railcats club that is struggling to produce runs and win ballgames. But Mariaga has been an absolute stud for them. Let him kind of turn things around, and let some other guys kind of coalesce around him and start putting up some numbers and get, man, a third of that ERA off, and all of a sudden this club might find themselves in the chase. Number 10, the Sioux Falls Canaries. Back on the idea. Don't let yourself think you're out of the race. 31-38, 8 games out of first place, but just 3 games behind Sioux City. They come away 4-6. A club that got off to a bit of a tough start, we're going to say, for them last week, because they wound up traveling down to, okay, so they wound up losing to Fargo to start the week on Tuesday night. Then take the next 2 games and in a 7-6 victory and a 7-5 victory. So winning some 1-1 games. Then the pitching staff just imploded. Okay, so they win on Friday night 17-12 over Lake Country, but then give up 17 runs themselves and then give up 15 runs on Sunday in a 15-6 loss. Okay, and I don't think I need to say that those are numbers that you're not going to win with. Okay, you just simply can't give up 44 runs in 3 games. And that materialized into this team coming away with an ERA in the 6 games last week of 9.98, nearly 10 runs per contest. And they had guys that were just hammered. Neil Lang had an abysmal week for this club. A guy that, I guess they would look at him as the number 2 starter in this team. You just can't have performances like that when you're looking to get in the playoff chase. And a .279 batting average for the club last week is not going to fix that problem. Think about that. 17 runs were scored in 1 game for them. And they produced 24 runs in the other 5 contests. This club can't win like that. They just can't. They have to produce 7-8 runs almost every game because this pitching staff is not going to hold clubs down. They're going to get the occasional solid performance, but they're not going to get great performances. And so you have to get big-time offense every night. And right now, this club is just not getting that. And Mike Hart, Jabari Henry, guys like that are struggling a little bit for the team, Hart in particular, and that's keeping them from making any kind of huge offensive presence going on right now. Moving into number 9 is the Lake Country Dockhounds this week. Lake Country at 32-35. They split a doubleheader here tonight with Milwaukee as I'm recording tonight's show. So they are tied 8.5 games out behind the Milkmen, tied with the Kane County Cougars, who I believe as I am, I'm going to look this up right now, but I think right now as I am talking to you, they are still playing. Yes, they are holding a 2-0 lead over Lincoln. So by the time this show is over, they may actually be back into fourth place by themselves. Lake Country has a bit of a tough week themselves. They start out the week going to Chicago where they're swept. And the offense really struggled. 7-2 loss on Tuesday, 7-3 loss on Wednesday, 6-4 loss on Thursday. So they produce just 9 runs through the first 3 games of that series. Then travel on to Sioux Falls, where the offense just goes ballistic. And you're getting spectacular performances from a number of guys in this offense. This may be 1 through 9 as deep of a lineup as you're going to find. Okay, Blake Tabari is having an MVP type season, and so is Demetrius Sims, to be honest with you. Not huge power numbers, but getting this offense to go. But Stephen Sensley kind of cooled off after a quick start where he had 4 homers in 3 games, and Dustin Woodcock has slowed down a little bit too, down to .248. Still 5 homers in 41 contests, but batting average still slumping a little bit right now. So they're seeing a little bit of a downgrade in their offense. One guy that I still think is going to be very interesting to watch for this team is Curtis Terry. Despite only hitting .170 right now, he has 6 homers in 15 games. Had grand slams and back-to-back contests over the weekend, too. So, producing big-time RBI was 15 in 15 games, and they just got to get some pitching. I mean, I'm going to tell you, this is a club that's just in need of a little bit better pitching right now. 6.16 ERA last week. They just can't win games like that, and that's really the deal for this team. Moving into the number 8 spot in the rankings this week, the Sioux City Explorers. This is still continuing to be the biggest enigma in the league this year. Sioux City at 34-35, 4th place in the West Division, 5 games behind Kansas City, just 4 games behind Lincoln, just 3 games behind, or 1 game behind Lincoln, 2 games behind Fargo, a team that can get on a run, as we saw with their 10-game winning streak a couple weeks ago. Get on a run and suddenly find themselves right back in the top spot in this division with a Kansas City Monarchs team that is struggling right now, a team they took 2 out of 3 games against and were just 1 bad inning away from sweeping that series. So they have what it takes. It's just they go to Winnipeg and get swept, a team they should have at least come away with 1 victory out of. And then come back home where they get 2 out of 3 from Kansas City, a club it's just hard to figure out. And right now it is just this is a team that's going to be totally dependent upon what their offense does. We could look at Lake Country and Sioux Falls and say, well, it's their pitching that they need to determine where they're going to go. Well, here it's the offense. I mean, Vince Hernandez 1-for-20 last week, Tyler Randall 130. Matt Lloyd, 167 batting average. Chase Harris, 176. Delvin Zinn and Miguel Sierra both hit .200. The middle of this infield has to start putting up numbers. Chase Harris has to start producing. If they're not getting better production out of this middle core in the diamond here, they're not winning. Okay, Matt Lloyd's, I think, feeling a little bit of the pressure right now of having to carry this team. And there just needs to be some better offensive production. So look for manager Steve Montgomery to be working on trying to bring in another big solid bat for this team right now. That is a definite must for this club. And unless they can get that, they're just not going to come away with a spot here in this division, especially the fact that Sioux Falls and Winnipeg do have enough to try to make a bit of a run here. So let's see how that winds up materializing out there for those Explorers. Number 7 in the rankings this week, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, the struggling Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks there for a little bit. A team that was right up on the cusp of Kansas City and still is only 3 games out as the Monarchs are struggling. We're going to talk more about them in a minute. But the Redhawks are a team looking to find somebody beyond Kevin McGovern and Tyler Grauer for this team. Now, the American Association, I should mention, chose Kevin McGovern as the pitcher of the week. Kevin tossed 7 shutout innings in a victory that helped this team, you know, something that they need right now, a good solid pitching performance. They wind up coming away with a 6-0 victory over Winnipeg. The club had gone to Sioux Falls and taken the first game of that series, then dropped the next 2, then took the first 3 from Winnipeg before losing tonight's contest. But McGovern got them on a bit of a roll with that 6-0 victory on Friday. And that is what this club needs, is to know that their ace is going to come to their rescue right now. And now they're just looking to see if there's somebody beyond Grauer and him that can wind up producing for this team. Because I think beyond the fact that I think most people thought this team was going to sort of run away with the division, and I was one of them. I'm not going to deny that. I really thought this team would be crushing it right now. But they're just not getting the offense. Evan Alexander has been the only consistent hitter on this team this year, and he's an MVP candidate right now, even with just 8 homers. He's the guy leading Fargo. Manuel Moscon has hit .286. Scott Schreiber got off to a fast start with 5 homers in his first 4 games, and is still up with 7 homers through his first 17 contests with the club. But when you set the league on fire right up like that, the expectation's pretty high. Leobaldo Pena homered twice over the weekend, but .254 batting average. Carell Prime hasn't really put up huge numbers for them. John Silviano was going to come back from that big leg break last year. Just could not get things going and may not be available, if at all, until the last week of the season. Donovan Williams did not work out for them. Sam Dexter was playing pretty well, but he's seeing his average slumping. This team is going to need better pitching because they're just not getting the offense they were expecting. And without that, they're just not winning. Okay, this is just not going to be a team that's going to be the force that everybody expected. They'll make the playoffs, but it may not be much more than that unless they can get this offense going a little bit better and get at least one more starter that they can depend upon. It's got to be somebody beyond Grauer and McGovern that's helping out here. How about our number 6 team, I believe, that I'm in the standings? And I am. The Lincoln Salt Dogs here. Lincoln is in 3rd place in the West Division, 4 behind Kansas City, a game behind Fargo for 2nd place. They are also 5-5 in their last 10. And this is a fun team. I'm going to tell you. Maybe they're not on the best run of their lives here after being swept in Milwaukee last week and taking 2 out of 3 against King County. Okay, a little bit of a swoon for this team if you want to talk about losing 3 in a very hot Milwaukee Milkman Park there in Franklin Field. But I love this team. I thought that they were going to be a club that we would see a dramatic improvement upon from last year that would be right in the thick of things, and they're getting spectacular performances. Luke Roskam is another unsung story this year. I believe his on-base streak is up to 32 straight games, 2nd longest in the league this season. He's continuing to put up huge numbers for them. Jason Rogers, signed by the club, had a great weekend, hitting .583 in his 3 games. Nick Anderson is back on fire again, homered 3 times last week and drove in 6. They're getting some very solid offensive performances, despite the fact that Connor Panass and Aaron Takas had very tough weeks for the team. The answer for this club is the closing role. I mean, it's just going to be. Devin Kahn looked like he was the answer, but he has struggled. He kind of lost that role last week for at least one game. So he's a guy that's kind of battling to figure things out right now. Stephon Moore came in and got a save for them last weekend, which is awesome. They got one good performance out of Maxwell last week. So you just don't know. It's the 8th and 9th inning for this team that's going to be the determiner. Now, Brett Jody did a great job of improving this offense and adding a guy like David Holmberg to set the stage for the starting rotation and be the ace. Now he's got to fix that back end. If they can get their 8th and 9th inning in order and know that if they're leading at that point that 90% of the games are over for them, they're going to win, this is a team to beat in the playoffs, in the West Division for sure. Because they have everything going for them. I think that this is the most dangerous club in the West right now. But that bullpen's got to be sick. That's just the answer to there. Let's turn to those Cleburne Railroaders, 5th in the power rankings this week. They are 3rd in the East Division at 35-34. Split a 6-game set over the weekend. Actually, starting last Tuesday is really what I should say about that. But Cleburne is another team that just not really sure what we're going to get out of them right now. Everything seems like it is in place for this team to get on a hot run. And other than the very start to the season, we have not seen this team play consistently hot for a while. So maybe that run is due for them. And they've got some pieces in place. Ryan Hernandez returned to the club this week. And he was off to an unbelievable start for the team with 5 homers in his first 10 games for the team. So he comes back, he homers in his 3rd game back. He has 22 RBI in 14 games, scored 17 runs. That's a huge bat. Brett Boswell has been an absolute stud for this club, a huge find for Logan Watkins. .480 batting average in 6 games. And now that the Mexican League season is just about to come to an end, we're going to see Jose Sermo back in the Cleveland Railroaders lineup as well. So this offense is going to produce. I mean, think about the fact that Hernandez could hit 7 home runs in August. And Sermo, if he's back for 2021 games, he could hit 7 homers. And you got Zach Naryer and Mark Caraviola's putting up some pretty solid offensive numbers. And Brett Boswell, how about this, folks? 3 homers and 7 doubles in 6 games. Of his 12 hits, 10 have been for extra base hits. I mean, that's pretty darn good. And that's not even including Hill Alexander. This team is going to score runs, but they need pitching. They made a move out here to try to improve this team, and that was by getting Tanner Riley, and he's a guy with a proven track record. He's a guy who could deliver for this team. And Kevin Hilton looks like he's turned things around here a little bit. So if they could get just a little bit better pitching, okay, right around that 5.0 ERA, this team is going to be awesome. Awesome. Let's jump to the number 4 team in the standing. Boy, how the mighty have fallen. The Kansas City Monarchs, although they are first in the West Division at 38-29, just clinging now to a 3-game edge over Fargo. And a while ago, we'd have said 3 games was a pretty sizable lead over Fargo, or at least made you feel really confident about this team because they were both those teams were so dominant. But now just 4 games ahead of Lincoln, 5 games ahead of Sioux City, as both those teams have caught fire and have gotten close enough to Kansas City to make this a very interesting race that we're starting to see right now. The Kansas City Monarchs are a pitching staff that is Jalen Miller and, you know, a cast of thousands, so to speak. And please excuse that that's coming across in a disrespectful manner. But this team needs some improvement for sure. Some definite improvement. I mean, Jalen Miller has been spectacular for his team. And it's right now one of the top 3 or 4 pitchers in the league. 7-2 with a 3.53 ERA. He's been absolutely spectacular for them. Cut out some walks and he would be the top pitcher in this league right now. And had a solid performance for them last week where he did not have a solid performance for them last week. Gave up 3 earned runs in 5 innings for them. Still wound up coming away with a no decision out of that contest. But, Matt, sometimes you're getting pretty solid bullpen performances out of this team. You did get a very solid performance out of Zach Matson in the starting rotation on Sunday. But Cody Deason has just been okay. Dalton Mose has been okay. Brandon Finnegan has not been, I think, what a lot of people expected. And they need more out of this team right now. They need much more out of this team. And I'm not really sure what manager George Samath does. Obviously, we know that Joe Calfa-Pietra, my apologies, Kansas City fan. Joe Calfa-Pietra, I'm not exactly sure what he does for this team, considering he's got a very solid offensive group right now. He's lost some key pieces out of this, and they just continue to roll. They just continue to put up runs. And that's without Yan Hernandez having a particularly good season. So they need to get a little bit better performance out of this team in the pitching staff-wise, and I think that they will be okay. I don't know if this team is ready to call themselves a serious championship contender right now, but they're going to be in the thick of things. I think that goes without saying. Let's jump up to the King County Cougars, who are in third in the Kevin Lukow Power Rankings this week. King County at 33-35. They lose tonight. Or let me make sure of that before I start spouting that off to Zestly. Leading right now 3-0 over Lincoln as they are in the 7th inning of their contest right now. We do want to mention, first of all, the American Association and us here at This Week in the Association and the Minor League Source Report name outfielder Todd Lott as the player of the week. There was really nobody to even consider for this. Not that anybody didn't have great weeks, but Lott was 7 homers in 6 games, drove in 14 runs. I don't know how this guy got out of the Cardinals organization, but wow, what a week for him. I mean, just a spectacular week. And you got to love what he's doing for this team. So he winds up coming away with the award, well deserved for sure. I mean, there's just no denying that. This was just a spectacular performance by him, well recognized by both the league and us for that. The league went with Kevin McGovern at the Pitcher of the Week, but we at This Week in the Association chose C.J. Eldred to be the Pitcher of the Week after tossing 7 shutout innings in his victory. A pretty solid performance by him where he just gave up 4 hits and a walk, was outstanding. He was outstanding in that performance out there and really a guy that all of a sudden has become a key piece for this club. Let's understand that this is a team that's going to win a lot of very close games. They need outstanding pitching. And Tyler Beardsley, Jack Fox, and Weston Muir have really carried the load for them. But now they bring in Eldred, who had struggled early on in the year, but wow, 0 earned runs over his last 20 innings pitched. 1 total run that he gave up that was an unearned run, giving up 1 or less runs in 4 of his last five starts. This is a team that is going to be very dangerous if they can just keep that pitching staff healthy and get just a little bit more production. And you know what? Manager George Samuels did go out there to improve this team, not only with Lott, but he brings in Hector Sanchez, who was kind of a savior for Milwaukee last year when he became the catcher for the team. And they add Donovan Williams, who's played very well since joining the club. So definitely the pieces there to really do some damage offensively. And if they can keep Jimmy Carrigan getting a little bit better each week, Jonah Davis continues to put up some pretty solid numbers, this is a team that can do some stuff. You got to like what you see. Number 2 in the ranking. How about those Chicago Dogs jumping up here into the number 2 spot? 36-32. They have the 3rd best record in the American Association overall, 2nd in the East behind the Milwaukee Milkmen. 8-2 in their last 10, but obviously the hottest team in the American Association right now. And it has been the performance of the guys that they expect and need to produce for them that are leading this club. Ryan Lidge continues to amaze and make us wonder what's wrong with affiliate clubs that they can't see the best catcher in partner league baseball and sign him. But he hits 520 last week, the best batting average in the league. Josh Altman has caught fire again at 375. Dylan Rosa, I think one of the best moves of the season that he got acquired by manager Butch Hobson, and I think something that Kansas City will continue to regret letting him get away. He had a huge week for the club, hitting 348. Luke Mangiera struggled a little bit, but they were getting enough depth throughout their lineup to come up with some offensive numbers, and then got better pitching this week. 2.88 ERA, and I want to put that ERA in context for a minute. Tyler Palm gave up 4 earned runs in 4 innings, and Jonathan Tripp gave up 7 runs in 7.1 innings. 11 of the 17 earned runs this club gave up came in 11.1 innings. In the rest of the 42.1 innings, they gave up 6 earned runs. That's going to win you a lot of games, and this bullpen looked huge, especially guys like Joe Calviero, who had 5.2 innings of scoreless relief. Brian Schlitter pitched very well. Brian Warzak pitched well for them. They're getting very good performances out of their bullpen. This team is in a spot that they could be very, very dangerous. No doubt about it. Well, that leaves us with our last team in the rankings this week, and that is the Milwaukee Milkmen. And number 1, and well-deserving, is they had the best record in the American Association at 42-37, just 5-5 last week, but nothing to really hang your head, 5-5 over the last 10, I should say. Nothing you should really hang your head about this team being in any kind of trouble or anything like that. Milwaukee is a team that has all the pieces in place, and they're weak. Started the week with a sweep of Lincoln at home. That was last, yeah, okay. Then went on to Chicago where they lost 2 of 3. Tonight they travel to Lake Country where they split a doubleheader there. So a team that's getting consistent performances out of them. I'm going to state openly, I have no idea why an affiliate club is looking away from Brian Torres. This is the best player in the American Association right now. You know, even 8 homers, but guys hitting for power recently. I mean, he's putting up some pretty solid numbers in that category. As a matter of fact, I believe 3 homers in his last 8 games. A 10 RBI during that time, scored 10 runs. Leading the American Association in batting average, among the leaders in on-base percentage, about to destroy the American Association record in stolen bases. He is just 15 away with a third of the season left right now. This is the guy. And I mean, right now having a phenomenal season. Right there, Roy Morales with him, having a great season as the guy taking over for Hector Sanchez, and has been great offensively for this club. Gabriel Cancel, I guess is the way they were saying it there, so let me correct that. Putting up some good, solid power numbers for them. And then you have this great pitching staff. Nate Hadley's been the only guy really kind of struggling for this group right now. But wow, I mean, this is a very deep group. Gregory Vasquez still leading the league in ERA, and Ryan Zimmerman up to his 8th victory. That leads the American Association. And Christian Young has not been as dominant, but still right among the league leaders in ERA, and it's 6-5 record. Kyle Moore now 7-1. And I believe Frankie Barthol is the guy with the least amount of victories in their starting rotation, 3-4 with a 4.39 ERA. They have everything that you need to be a winner here. There's just no doubt about it. Well, that takes us around the American Association. And let us now talk a little bit about some things I think are kind of interesting this season. And that has been the number of releases by teams that instantly the player was signed by another club. I mean, you see this kind of go on, but this season, I think that's gone on in a much more bigger role, I think, than we've seen in any previous year. I mean, teams are signing, a guy is out on the market for like 1-2 days, and all of a sudden is playing for a rival. And I'm not really sure if this is an indicator of there's just not enough talent out there, so a team is more willing to take a risk on a guy that they know has played in the American Association, or if the guy's talented and they're just saying, hey, look, he didn't work there, but we know he'll work here, and so they're willing to give him a shot. But it's a very interesting dynamic this season that I believe has a lot of clubs looking across to opposing dugouts and going, hey, that guy just played for us. Maybe even yesterday he might have played for us. So very interesting this season. I'm kind of excited to see how this continues to go and what this means in the trade market. We've been seeing trade starting to pick up a little bit, something I'm going to evaluate more as the week is going along here. But I'm liking that. I'm liking to see that a lot. So I think this is going to be kind of an exciting dynamic to the season this year. Let's go around the rest of the partner leagues out there. And I first want to talk about out there in the Frontier League, that Brennan Price named as the player of the week from the Florence Yalls after hitting 5 homers with a 522 batting average and 13 RBI. Congratulations to him. Jorge Taveras, the pitcher of the week from the New Jersey Jackals after tossing a complete game 9-inning shutout in his one start of the week. So congratulations to those guys out there. In the league standings right now, the Gateway Grizzlies and Schaumburg Boomers are both tied at 40-24 with Schaumburg on a roll, 8-2 in their last 10. They've won 7 straight games to get themselves right back in the thick of this race there. In the East, the Tri-City Valley Cats hold a 2-game edge over the over the New Jersey Jackals. It is 2 fewer wins for New Jersey that has them trailing right now, with the Quebec Capitalists right behind at game and a half out right now. I did want to say congratulations to our good friend out there, Tom Bates, who earned his 150th managerial victory on Sunday. So congratulations to him out there. We always love Tom and glad to know that he is doing very well in his job out there for the Washington Wild Things. A true class act. There is no denying that at all. In the Atlantic League, I'm going to quickly pull this up. There we go. And the Atlantic League, they are done with the first half of the season with Long Island winning the North at 37-26. And Gastonia and High Point tied at 41-22 for the South Division title. Now here in the second half, they are underway with York at 13-6, leading by a half game over Southern Maryland, and High Point holding a half-game edge over Gastonia for the South Division lead right now here in the second half. I believe that takes us all around the American Association here tonight. I want to once again thank you for joining me this week. Again, my apologies to the Deputy Commissioner, Josh Buchholz. Hopefully we'll have Kevin back with me next week. I'm sure he'll be feeling a little bit better. So for Rob Pannier, for myself, I'll see you next time on This Week in the Association.